What you see behind me is the world's strictest and largest prison. This mega prison has a capacity of 40,000. Prisoners here are the most unsafe people you can even imagine.
How many people's lives have you ended? Is it 5 or 10? How many?
More than 50.
MS-13 and many other gangs. These are animals. These aren't people.
They're psychopaths, sociopaths, the kind of people we have here.
We are about to see the worst of the worst.
Welcome to CECOP, the world's largest prison by capacity in El Salvador, which was constructed to imprison the highest profile criminals. Those who enter this prison are destined never to leave alive.
There's no way out. How are you going to come out of this?
The reason why this small country of 6 million needs the largest prison is the gangs.
Buenos dias.
Once dominating the country, these gangs faced a dramatic crackdown starting in March 2022. Under President Nayib Bukele's administration, over 70,000 individuals, about 2% of the country's adult population, were arrested within just 16 months. Buses transported thousands of chained gang members to CECOT in a tightly coordinated nighttime operation. Sitting one behind the other, heads lowered, they looked like a single mass. Surrounded by armed guards, none of them dared to resist commands. Their life has changed in a day. In this documentary, we will interview one of them, one of the most ruthless gang leaders, known by the nickname Psycho.
10 minutes. You only have 10 minutes.
Built in 2022, this massive prison is made up of 8 separate modules spread over 410 acres of land. Each pair of modules is enclosed by 2 separate 3-meter-high walls with razor wire. The entire facility is surrounded by a towering 9-meter-high wall with a 3-meter-high electric fence carrying 15,000 volts. 19 watchtowers are ensuring nothing escapes notice. The entire design doesn't just prevent escape, it erases the very idea of it. Hello.
Hello, we have permission from the presidency.
The soldiers stopped us. We're hoping this will be the last checkpoint. The jammers blocked all signals within a 2-kilometer radius of CECOT, completely cutting off all communication. Over 600 soldiers work only to secure the perimeter.
We are going to leave all of our belongings here before entering the prison. We will only carry our cameras and microphones, that's it.
Pass slowly. Look at the camera, the body scan.
I forgot my wedding ring on.
Well, that needs to be put away over there.
This high-capacity X-ray scanner even shows bones and internal organs. It's mainly used to scan newcomers, ensuring no one tries to sneak in anything forbidden on their body before entering.
The inmates used to swallow some objects, or they would try to bring them in vaginally or anally. Micro SD memory cards, microchips, and not only that, even phone chargers.
Another thorough body search has been conducted.
Take off your shoes.
They even inspected inside our socks. It took us around 1 hour just to pass through security, even though we were invited as media after months of applying.
Guards are wearing masks because they're doing a risky job here. So if they get identified, it might be riskier for them to go to town centers because these gangs, they have a lot of connections. So they have to keep their identity secret. Why don't you wear a mask?
I have to talk to them face to face, looking them in the eye. They already know who I am.
We're in the registration room. This area is for inmates only. When a criminal is captured on the street, they don't carry ID or give their real name. That's why their fingerprints and photographs are taken here to enroll in the system. Once they become a permanent part of CECOT, the inmates lose all contact with loved ones for the rest of their lives, as family visits are strictly forbidden. It's also important to note that a small number of innocent people were mistakenly imprisoned during the big crackdown. Because of the no-contact policy, their families have no idea where they are or if they are still alive. For some, this documentary could be their first chance to see a missing loved one. Before entering the modules where the inmates are, we visit the armory of the prison. This section is a must in case of possible riots, and these convicts are the most unsafe people on Earth.
The type of firearm we use is a T-65 rifle, similar to the M-16 rifle. We also have this other firearm, which is a 12-gauge shotgun. A Sig Sauer rifle allows us to maneuver in spaces that are too tight to move.
Whenever criminals are arrested and dragged to the bus, various cuffs and chains are used to restrict their movements and minimize the risk of harm to officers.
Has there ever been a riot?
So far, there have been no escape attempts. We have the worst of the worst within criminal organizations here.
The riot gear consists of a head protection, a face shield, neck protection, an anti-trauma vest, leg protectors, shin guards, and of course, a shield.
Generally, in the prisons, we see inmates invent any kind of handmade weapon, like awls or knives.
They are fully protected. You can see how he protects his feet. Since this prison is so large, we have to hop on this bus.
We are entering the module area.
To keep the country safe, 1,000 staff members work inside CECOM.
It is impossible, but let's just imagine that an inmate get out of the fortress. These pebbles that you see are put here intentionally because when they walk on these pebbles, it works like an alarm system. It makes a noise. They cannot sneak away.
Have they tried to escape? No. Could they try? Difficult. Because they would have to go through a series of security rings.
CECOT was built with its own infrastructure in an isolated area, including an electrical and sewage system to prevent external interference. In case of an electricity cut or water supply issue, the cisterns and power plants will maintain operations for up to a week.
I'm so excited. We're gonna be face to face with the most dangerous criminals in the world. It is pretty tense. We are entering one of the modules now.
You are seeing the third and fourth modules next to each other. An offender who enters one of these buildings never exits through these doors. In a few steps, we'll be surrounded by more than 2,500 inmates. It's like stepping in the middle of controlled chaos.
Dias.
Dias.
This is so intense.
Their eyes are all on me, following my every step.
Getting an eye contact with them. There are so many of them. I'm speechless. I can't help but feel unease. All of them wear white shirts, shorts, and slippers. They don't have any other belongings.
Most are barely out of their early 20s and convicted of serious offenses. Even the most infamous criminals in history have an average of 20 to 30 proven victims. But here, some of the inmates are responsible for hundreds of innocent people's lives.
Can I ask the inmates something?
No. If you have any questions, I can answer them for you.
If they try to communicate with me now, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to allow them. They know from them that subsequently there may be a penalty for not abiding by an instruction.
I'm curious to know which of these group leaders I'll be interviewing.
It is forbidden for us to pass this yellow line because these are one of the most dangerous human beings on Earth.
Without the bars between us, everyone knows exactly what could happen. There are 32 cells in every one of the 8 modules making up the mega prison. Each cell holds around 80 inmates, but the number can go as high as 150. Despite not being at full capacity, the inmates only have 0.5 square meters of personal space each. Prisoners do not have any ventilation rights or courtyards to walk outside their cell.
Each inmate here have been given one of the longest sentences you can even imagine in your life. The only thing that doesn't change that all these inmates will never get outside. They will never see sunlight. The only people are authorized to get inside and outside are the personnel and sometimes media like us. They will never ever leave this building. If you see their look, you can see the emptiness in their soul. They don't have any hope towards future. They look very robotic. Their life is so monotone.
This open corner is their toilet area.
They have like 2 toilets for 80 inmates. It's literally humiliating these inmates, like their whole confidence is disciplined here.
The same place where they use the toilet is also where they take showers. To clean themselves, they use plastic dippers in a single shared basin. There's no running water in the cells, so the prisoners have to rely on one blue barrel for drinking water.
Where they sleep is these metal bunks. No pillow, no mattress. Each prisoner receives just the bare essentials, a white sheet, a uniform, socks, slippers, and a towel. That's it.
The prisoners spend their entire days on their four-level bunk beds. They have stacked tightly, like items stored in a warehouse. As part of hygiene and order, inmates are shaved every 2 weeks by personnel. Long hair or beards aren't just unhygienic, they can also hide sharp objects.
Let's take a look. Take off your shirt and line up here.
Now they are taking their shirts off.
These inmates were once part of the MS-13 and Barrio 18 gangs, which controlled the neighborhoods of El Salvador. These two rival gangs spent years extorting money from locals and causing great suffering to Salvadorans.
There is Barrio 18, MS-13 gangs all together in one cell.
That's right, just like that. The entire module is the same. They all live like this.
Outside, entering each other's neighborhood could mean being torn apart. Yet here, they are side by side until their last breath.
How do they live without attacking one another?
They have to learn how to live together. Here, they are in a prison. They are not on the street.
Most of the inmates have tattoos covering their entire bodies, even including their faces, showing their loyalty structure. For MS-13, tattoos often include initial letters or the number 13. Members of the other gang use symbols like 18 or 666, which add up to 18 and symbolize the devil, or they use Roman numerals. Having gang tattoos on one's face is a clear sign that they are one of the most ruthless and high-ranking members of the organization. Crossing paths with such a person on the street is the same as staring death in the face. A spiderweb tattoo represents being caught in the web of justice and serving a long prison sentence. The devil horns tattoo is a dark symbol that represents these individuals' worship of the devil. Some even claim that they carried out their actions under the devil's command. A teardrop tattoo signifies that the person has ended someone's life. The number of teardrops indicates how many lives they've taken. If there are 3 teardrops, it suggests that the tattoo's owner has taken so many lives that they've lost count. With the phrase, "laugh now, cry later," these masks or clown tattoos send a clear message. Stay strong in the face of hardship now and deal with the consequences later.
Are all these people truly bad?
They're on another level, high-profile criminals who will never change their mentality.
If you look at the upside, there's a catwalk area.
Guards consistently watch over the inmates from this elevated spot above the cells. If anything suspicious occurs, they will intervene while an extensive network of cameras observes every corner 24/7, ensuring nothing goes unnoticed. The modules are kept lit all day and night for monitoring. When the sun goes down, the lights stay on all the time.
They are constantly being observed. I think this is one of the hardest things. When they try to sleep, they use their towels and cover their eyes to block the light. Preacher here is teaching some of the important lessons from the Bible to the inmates.
They're doing physical exercise over here. There's a trainer there.
This is the only time these inmates get out of their cells.
These activities take place for a total of 1 hour per week, under the watch of armed guards. For the rest of the time, they are locked inside. They used to control the streets. Now, they can't even take a step with their free will.
It's a rotating schedule. There's not enough space, so they can't all go out on the same day.
Has there ever been a chaotic incident when the inmates were outside of their cells?
So far, nothing.
Whenever we focus the camera on a cell, we often catch a prisoner silently mouthing words. Even behind bars, gang members attempt to send orders to the outside. This prisoner was doing just that, but we censored him to block the message. Despite the crackdown, these groups still hold significant power outside. Rumors suggest they have plans for taking revenge by targeting innocent people. But in response, the authorities threaten to impose even harsher measures on imprisoned members.
If they do that, there won't even be one meal in prison.
Uno.
I swear to God, they won't eat a grain of rice. Let's see how long their homeboys last inside.
Here they get 3 meal times: breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
El menú del desayuno.
Breakfast is usually beans and rice. For lunch, they get white rice and pasta.
Blanco y pasta.
And dinner's pretty much the same. The only thing that changes is the drink. There's no nutritious food like chicken or meat. This is the lunch. It's rice, pasta, and 2 tortillas.
Does the menu vary from day to day?
No.
Is it the same every day?
It's always the same. It's for freshmen.
Okay. A sugary drink. I'm going to taste it for myself.
Inmates must eat with their hands and clean their plates before returning them. With a diet lacking in protein, many likely suffer from nutritional deficiencies. Before starting our interview with an inmate, I want to show you one more place that is even more extreme than what you've seen so far.
Here we are in the isolation cell area. If inmates break a rule, they can be sent to these isolation cells according to the legislation. The law gives me the right to keep the prisoners in isolation for up to 15 days. These cells have sealed doors. Through this grid, I can see them and identify who's inside. We serve food here, and we also use this space to put handcuffs on them before opening the door to move them from here to their cell.
Welcome to the isolation cell. If an inmate misbehaves, this is where he ends up. He won't know the time or how much longer he'll be kept inside. For days or even weeks, he sleeps on this concrete bed without ever leaving. They are cut off from the outside world, left alone with nothing but their thoughts.
This is where they supply their water. There's a water basin here. They take their water here, and this is where they pee.
The basin for drinking water and the toilets are located side by side. The toilet looks recently used and dirty, suggesting that this cell has recently been used. The only light they have is this little hole that barely lets the sun shine in. This openness is also the sole source of fresh air.
What is the most challenging thing about isolation room, according to you?
Inside, you don't even see your hands. So when someone is isolated, it is necessary for them to have something, a book, anything, to keep their mind clear. But here, they don't have access to any of that. No matter how tough a criminal is, this kind of isolation breaks them. This is necessary for the type of offenders that we have here. People who once played God by deciding who would live and who wouldn't live deserve the worst punishment. We don't show them mercy. They can ask for forgiveness, and may God forgive them. But here, justice must be served for so many victims, and it's the least they deserve.
Now we're going to interview the inmate known as Psycho. He has a 34-year criminal history and has spent the last 25 years as a high-ranking member of an organization.
10 minutes. You only have 10 minutes.
12 guards are barely enough to ensure the safety around this inmate.
Remove the mask.
What is your name?
My name is Marvin Ernesto Medrano Vasquez.
How old are you?
I'm 41 years old.
You don't look 41. You look younger, like 35.
That's a good thing that you told me, because I feel old.
Can I see your tattoos?
MS-13.
When did you join this crime organization?
In 2004, but I started my criminal record since I was 11 years old.
How did you first become involved?
When somebody is born with just a mom and the mom is working, you look for the streets, you look for somebody to help you out. I said, oh, my mom's poor, I need some shoes, I need some clothes, and I started robbing. Then I need a father figure because I didn't grow up with my father. And then I looked the group of gangs, then I did a homicide, and I came right here to El Salvador, trying to change my life, but I seen that there are more gangs right here, and I started doing the same thing I did upstate, and I got locked up. I've always been one of them persons that wanted to accomplish the things that they put in their mind, and I accomplished everything I had to do right here, but I'm right here. This is how the devil pays the people.
Yeah. Is it true that to join this crime organization, you need to end someone's life?
Yeah.
But the first one must be one of your relatives, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because you got to gain territory for your gang. I lost my mom, my dad, my son, everything right here because of the gangs. When I could be with my family, hey, upstate, the United States, a better life. But, you know, we took wrong decisions, and this is the cause of this. That's why I tell the youth, hey, go to school, listen to your mom, listen to your dad. Don't live this life that we live right here. There's no way out.
How many people's lives have you ended? Is it 5 or 10? How many?
No, if you talk about what you used to do in the jails after, it probably get a few more than 50. You gotta do it sometimes.
How did you become cold-blooded and merciless in time?
I can't really respond to you with that question.
How do you feel about not seeing your family forever since you're in psych-out?
I feel bad because I seen my son the last time when he was 5 years old, and he's 21 years old right now. I want to see him. I want to tell him, hey, don't do the same things that your dad did. Look for a good life.
people who have fallen victim because of you will never see their loved ones again. You will also never see your family. How do you cope with emotions like missing someone?
I feel bad. Sometimes, like I tell you, I lay down on my bed and I think a lot of things and sometimes I cry.
What is your motivation to stay alive here?
To one day change my life and look for God in my life and I tell God, hey, forgive me. Forgive me because I did some things.
Okay. Finally, we see the sunlight. Honestly, Sekhar is a place you would never wish to end up in, even as a visitor. But for the people who victimized Salvadorans, it is now their forever home. These criminals took the innocent people's right to live, and now they're paying for it. The Salvadorian government's message is clear. Crime is no longer tolerated and the punishment is severe.
El Salvador once had the highest rate of lives lost due to widespread chaos. During its peak, 104 out of every 100,000 people lost their lives in a single year. Previous administrations agreed to a truce with these groups, but this couldn't bring lasting order. Although the current government's methods are controversial, by 2023, the number dramatically dropped to 2.4 per 100,000 people, placing El Salvador among the safest countries in the world for the first time.
So far, the results are undeniable. Peace has returned to the neighborhoods. But what about those who were wrongfully imprisoned? Is it true justice or a way to control chaos? Are we seeing a lasting solution or just a temporary fix? For now, the answer remains unclear, and the world continues to watch. Thank you for watching this documentary. See you in the next one. Don't forget to subscribe. Ruhi Chenet was here.